Do I need a life coach? You're listening to episode 90 with Rhiannon Bush. Welcome to the Do I Need a Life Coach podcast. We're here to discuss the ins and outs of the life coaching industry and give you tools to use to see for yourself. I'm your host, Rhiannon Bush, mother, management consultant, and a passionate, certified life coach. Well, hello, my friends. Welcome back. It's lovely to have you here. I have been traveling all over the place for work and I have been loving it. It's been a long time since I traveled for work and I did it a lot in my 20s. And it's one of those things that I think looks really glamorous from the outside, but then when you have to actually do it frequently and repetitively, it's a bit of a different story. I think it's really easy to look at people who travel for work and they get, you know, cars that they're driven in and they get hotels and, you know, it looks amazing, but then it's so disruptive. But it's been a long time since I did that. When I was doing it before, I was in my 20s and it was just me and it was amazing. But to have the opportunity to do that through the work that I'm doing at the moment has just been awesome. So it's been, you know, Devonport and Bell Bay and Launceston, and I've been working really actively with clients, facilitating some stuff to try and get them working better as a team and better as an organization. So it's just been thrilling, and off to Hobart tomorrow. So yeah, everything's going really, really well. Tiring, but absolutely awesome. And I hope you are having a really, really great week as well. One of the things that I fell in love with when I began coaching, and it's still the thing that I love the most, is seeing or getting to witness the client transform. And it has happened with every single one of my clients. And the reason that I recognize it and love it, and it's probably the main reason that I have kept coaching for as long as I have, if I'm honest, is because I witnessed the exact same thing. I went from being in this state of, oh, I don't know, and I'm not sure about that, and this uncertainty I was experiencing for me particularly, an inability to make a decision and to commit and to see something through. So to have gone through my coach training where I was coached really intensely, you know, as we all are when we do coach training, or should be, because you've got to experience it to then be able to deliver it. It was just amazing. I went from I was able to just step into my power and really stand up and declare really what I wanted and carry it forward from there. And it is something that I see all my clients go through. They come to me and they're uncertain and unsure, and they're, you know, maybe a little bit vulnerable. Some people that come to me, vulnerability appears in different ways, right? Some clients are defensive, some clients are quite shy, and not very forthcoming. And then if you add the layer on top of that, in terms of, oh, I don't really know if I want to work with a life coach or what a life coach is, then it just compounds as insecurity and uncertainty and remaining really stuck where you are. And yeah, so it's just something that's so thrilling to me. And it's amazing how some clients move through really, really fast. Other clients take a little bit longer, but the way that clients progress through the sessions and through the programs of work that I do with them, they go from being, you know, that uncertain, unsure, to full blown, committed, up and about, this is what I'm doing, no one's going to stop me, and they go and get what they want, which is just an amazing thing to see. And there's always this pivotal moment. Usually for me, it's been between sort of session 4 and 5, or 5 and 6, it's around sort of the midway point in the program where you've done a lot of emotional healing work, a lot of clearing, and all of a sudden they can clear away the past, which makes way for the future, and they're able to look at it and go, that's what I want and I'm going to get mine. And it is such an honor as a coach. Like, there is no greater honor than to know that you have assisted somebody with that, and to see them just go and spread their wings and absolutely go after what they want with confidence and certainty and conviction and all of the really powerful emotions that keep them going and keep them strong. It is awesome. And I think when we have things we want to achieve, you know, our primitive brain that I've spoken extensively about, you know, it's an attempt by our primitive brain to keep us safe. And because of that, we get a lot of negative self-talk. Negative self-talk, it doesn't matter how much of a guru you are or how amazing you seem or how positive you seem. Every single person has negative self-talk. And this comes from a place of fear and uncertainty and change and just doing something differently. And when we go to expand our comfort zones, or when we go to change, it is so easy to stay in what I recently referred to a client with as child mode. So while children have incredible courage and resilience, for the purposes of explaining this and using this as a metaphor, I want you to just bear with me, okay? Bear with what I'm about to say. When you think about a child, you can often experience a state of dependency and vulnerability. And in child mode, if we as an adult are in what I'm referring to as child mode, we exist in a state of I'm scared and I don't think I can do this and I need help. And even though I want that outcome, I don't want to do this to get that outcome. And it is so easy to stay in that place. It's exactly what our primitive brain wants us to do and is designed to do. Keep us safe and keep us in familiar territory because it's comfortable, we know it's okay, and that's where we should stay. This will often be stronger in situations where we've already been through something significant, some sort of trauma, or we've failed, or we've suffered really hard, like a big hardship through the same situation. If that's happened, feelings will often flood back. It's our sort of muscle memory, if you like, only it's our actual memory, which is related to emotional memory in the body. And that will come to the surface and remind us of why we need to stay safe and not do that again, which is why it's so important for us to process what it is that we're feeling and have a better appreciation for that feeling before we realign with what we want and go there again. At the very least, we can use these emotions to spur us on and to keep us going. You know, when we're feeling a bit fragile because we've just been through a breakup, or we've just been fired, or we've just had a fight with someone we love, we've all experienced something like that. Sometimes, even in that state, you have to do something that you don't want to do. You might have to apologize or move out of the house. Damien and I have been indulging in Vanderpump recently, which is kind of funny. It's not really the sort of stuff that we watch often, but yeah, we've just been indulging. And there's, Sandoval and Ariana, and they're splitting up, but they're living in the same house and they're not doing the thing that they need to do to move on and get closure, which is move out, you know? It's craziness. But often when we've been through something really emotionally taxing that has been incredibly confronting and often, you know, a really emotionally significant event, we often have to back that up by doing things we don't want to do, like moving out or applying for a new job or getting closure when we're not ready to say goodbye. And the action of having to do the thing you don't want to do is what enables you to move on from it faster. You're forced out of your comfort zone, not through choice, and then you keep getting forced out of your comfort zone, which means you actually have to move forward, and you do move forward faster, even though it feels like shit. It feels terrible, but it gets you back out there and it keeps you moving forward, which is a real positive, even if it doesn't feel that way at the time. If you think about what characterizes a child versus an adult versus a parent, they have very different qualities and energies. Each will serve you in a different way. And in the face of challenges, you can stay in child mode for a while. And at some point, you will transition into what I call parent mode. You could call it leader mode or maybe guru mode. But the point is, you will step up and you will start owning the discomfort and harnessing the feelings, and you'll move forward anyway. That is parent mode. It's when you get sick of your own story and you get sick of the things you're telling yourself and you get sick of being stuck that you say, yes, I'm going to do this thing because it's what I want. And I'm going to go through the pain and the fear and the awful emotions anyway, because it, and consequently me, is worth fighting for. It's where you feel all those negative feelings from all the self-talk and you feel the fear and you do it anyway. You do the thing anyway because that's your decision and you realize on some level that you're worth fighting for and you're worthy of having that thing and therefore you can have it. You can go after it. You can take it and you can be resilient throughout it to get what it is you want to get. And this can also come into defying your nearest and dearest. You know, if they're not supporting you in the direction you want to go, on the journey you want to take, you know, in child mode, we'll conform or we will remain the same and we will let other people's opinions keep us where we are. In adult mode, it doesn't matter whether it's your nearest friend on the planet. It doesn't matter whether it was your parents or other family members or other people that you really care about. You do the thing and you step up, you lean in and you get assertive about it. You fight for it, right? And if we're going to quickly label a few characteristics of a child versus a parent versus an adult, you'll see what I mean. So if you think about a child, there's curiosity, there's imagination, there's emotional sensitivity, there's playfulness, and there's dependency. If we look at what characterizes an adult, there's responsibility, there's self-awareness, independence, there's resiliency, and there's also autonomy. And then there's what characterizes a parent: nurture, protection, sacrifice, patience, and a role model. These lists obviously aren't exhaustive, but if you sat down and actually characterized how you perceive a parent, an adult, and a child, the differences are quite stark. They're very, very different. And now when you think about these words and what kind of energy and feelings each one has around them, you can identify the different moods that we all transition through almost each and every day. In child mode, we are open, creative, inquisitive, light, naive, playful. In adult mode, we are very solo. We're fairly selfish. We are going about our lives, only thinking about us because that's all we have. So we can be quite selfish. We can be quite goal-driven. I don't mean selfish negatively, by the way. I mean we can be self-centered because, yeah, we only have to look after us. And in parent mode, we are responsible. We are we and not me. And we are very dynamic. And when I read these words out, you can feel the difference. In child mode, we react emotionally, instinctively, or impulsively, similar to how a child behaves, right? This is the mode that characterizes emotions such as fear and vulnerability, curiosity, spontaneity. In child mode, we may seek comfort and support and reassurance from others. And we sometimes experience a heightened sense of sensitivity to criticism or to praise. Whereas in parent mode, we adopt more authority and a more nurturing role, similar to how a parent might behave. So in this mode, we guide, we protect, we discipline, we're responsible, we're thoughtful, we're considered, and we demonstrate leadership and authority and caretaking. We provide structure and direction in both our lives and in our interactions with others. Whether you're a parent or not, that's beside the point. You still have a parent mode. So you might demonstrate really great loyalty and protection over friends or nearest and dearest, or, you know, other people that you know and love, maybe colleagues. But parent mode provides that structure and that direction, you know, that our lives and in our interactions with others. So this is when we say, I'm doing this, and yes, I'm feeling uncomfortable and I'm scared and I don't know if I can do it, but I'm going to give it a go. And I don't know if people will love me doing it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Being an adult has this assertiveness about it. It's got this power to it. And that's what happens when you stand up and you fight for what it is that you want and how you want your life to be. Stepping into your parent mode is how you get what you want. It's how you keep moving forward and it's how you fight. Because when you're in adult mode, there's no other choice. You are responsible and you are taking care of yourself. In child mode, you are looking for other people to look after you. You are looking for other people to validate you and to nurture you and help you. If you're trying to goal achieve from child mode. And moving from child mode to parent mode is the transition I see in clients. I see them move through that, and that's what excites me the most. And to be clear, child mode is an amazing mode for daydreaming and to get a vision for what your future could look like and to get creative and innovative and enjoy the process. There is so much that's wonderful about child mode, but it's not a great mode when you are feeling vulnerable because you've taken a hit from something in your life, something that's happened that has started to seed your self-doubt and seed your unworthiness or whatever negative other self-talk you have going on. Child mode in that is not helpful. That's when we look to others to support, get support and get validation and all of that. And look, you can be there for a little while, but eventually you need to step back into parent mode and fight. When inevitable things happen in life, like the examples I've given, that really jolt us and blindside us and, you know, turn our realities upside down really, often we have no choice but to face it and move forward. And when clients come to me, they've often been stuck for a while. So there's no burning platform for them to change. There's been no reason to rush or drastically do something right now because you're just going to jump out of your skin if you can't go after what you want. And that's when we get stuck and we remain in that I care zone that I spoke about a couple of episodes ago, because in that place, things are good enough. But one life, my friends, one life. And when you're sick of that inner voice where the narrative is that, you know, you're scared and you don't think you can, or you don't know how you can, or you don't think you're worthy enough, or that maybe it's just not in the cards for you, or, you know, will you actually enjoy the outcome if you get there? You know, all the sorts of self-sabotaging thoughts that we can have, we can cycle around them forever. And the world's not going to meet you there with that energy. The universe is not going to come and give you what you want when you're in that state. Until you step up and take control and be an adult or a parent about taking control and going after what it is that you want, until you step into your power and start demanding that a little bit and honoring yourself and at least fighting for what it is you want and fighting to move away from the things that you don't, the world's not going to meet you there. When I first started coaching, one of my first clients was a friend of a guy I worked with, and he was corporate and he was lovely and wonderful, and his wife had been having an affair, and he was sitting back, letting it happen, and wasn't really sure what to do. He was stuck. He was in complete child mode, and he was looking for someone to come in and save him. And he was looking for someone to almost give him permission to stand up for himself and to call it. Thankfully, there was no kids involved, but he was so besotted with her and smitten with her and in love with her. He just couldn't fathom walking away or leaving. But what it was doing to him in his self-worth and his self-talk, and it was interesting that he was so conflicted. Interesting from my perspective. And as a coach, I don't have a perspective. Let me make that very clear. In coaching land, I am there and I listen and I ask questions and I'm a sounding board, and you know, he 100% got to make up his mind as to whether he chose to stay or whether he chose to go or whatever he chose to do in that situation. But as a coach, when I was coaching him, I was so aware that he was so out of his power and that that might not have necessarily been an attractive quality to his wife. And it just was perpetuating not only the unhappiness between the two of them, but the unhappiness within him in himself. And it was a very, very interesting thing to watch him go through the process of asking himself questions and analyzing his self-talk and how he was feeling about things, because he was so conflicted and caught up in, you know, the group of friends that they had and their opinions and how he perceived their life together and how he kept trying to put on a brave face, but people knew. And just when he could finally be honest with himself and see it for what it was, he was then able to make decisions for him that served him a lot better. But when we choose to lie to ourselves or to get attached to something that might not be completely true, it will often be at the detriment of ourselves and our power as a human being, and therefore our happiness and our levels of fulfillment in life, and us taking from life what we want and how we want our lives to be. And, you know, if we choose to face the fear and do it anyway, as Susan Jeffries would say, you know, we can. Otherwise, we're going to remain where we are, and we're going to remain in that petulant, vulnerable child mode where we are stagnant and we're not moving forward, and when we're not willing to apply ourselves or even chase or protect, let alone fight for what it is that we want. For some clients I've coached, the child mode remains because we don't know how, or we haven't made a plan and we haven't plotted a path. And sometimes it's because we're just so crippled from having things go wrong in the past, and it's sort of haunting and it brings us so much fear that we don't feel we can change. And sometimes, most of the time, that's just a pattern of behavior where we sit there and we just don't know how to move forward, and we distract ourselves with other things that keep us feeling like we're living our best lives, when actually, because we're not living our best lives, our energy frequency is really, really low. It's sort of flatlined and we get stuck and we cycle around and around, and it's a really stuck energy. If you think about what you've done before when you sit in that feeling of fragility and vulnerability and you feel stuck, sometimes it is a curl up on the couch and wallow type of scenario, and it might not be quite that dramatic, but it's still a very stagnant emotion. There's no momentum. There's no forward movement. It's very, very stuck. And it's okay to be there for a while, like I said. It's okay to acknowledge that that's where you're at, and today you just need to take your foot off the pedal and you need to recompose yourself and then keep going. Because when you step into that place of, you know what, I'm scared, but I want this and I'm going to do it anyway, it's got so much more energy. It's full of momentum. It's assertive. It can be aggressive, but it's that kind of energy that will get you so laser focused and so committed and so obsessed that you will move forward and you will get what you want. You might not get it straight away. It might take even longer, but it's about moving towards what you want day by day, taking the lessons along the way, seeing the bigger picture and reminding yourself of what it is you're trying to achieve and why you want that thing. And maintaining that energy is what the universe responds to, and you will get what you want. Both child mode and parent mode have their own roles to play, and they can be very effective in different situations, depending on what we're chasing and where we're at. For instance, child mode allows us to tap into that emotional creativity, spontaneity, lightheartedness, as I was mentioning earlier, can be helpful for exploring new ideas, expressing our feelings, relying on others when we need to be cared for and when we need to be looked after. In this mode, we can feel really connected to other people and to our fellow human beings. However, it can also leave us unhappy if we're in this mode for too long, because it prevents us from taking that responsibility and being accountable and stepping up to claim what we want or chase it and overcome the barriers and the hurdles along the way. It prevents our growth. It can also stop us putting those boundaries in place to keep our time and our money and our energy safe, and to focus on what we want to achieve instead of focusing on all the reasons that we're in child mode in the first place. Child mode enables us to constantly seek that validation and reassurance, whereas parent mode empowers us to take charge of our lives. In parent mode, we set the pace, we set the boundaries, and we make disciplined decisions. We can create structure, set goals, take proactive steps towards achievement because we own our behavior. Without that reliability on others, we can foster our own self-reliance, self-belief, self-talk, and that resilience to get us there. And given the trajectory of life and how we're always going to experience 50% positive, 50% negative emotions, as Brooke Steer talks about, understanding child and parent mode can enable you to optimize your mindset and your behavior to navigate those challenges and pursue your goals. So we can sit in child mode for a while, but flipping into parent mode or jolting yourself into parent mode or doing whatever you need to do to get yourself back in parent mode is what will enable you to back it up, to keep working and keep chipping away to get your goal. Imagine yourself as the captain of a ship embarking on a voyage across the ocean. In child mode, you're like a curious and adventurous sailor, exploring uncharted waters with excitement and wonder. You eagerly navigate through storms and calm seas alike, driven by your intuition and emotional impulses. However, without clear direction or discipline, your ship may drift aimlessly, susceptible to the whims of the tides, currents, and waves. As challenges arise and the seas grow rough, you transition into parent mode. Now, you embody the role of the experienced and responsible captain, steering the ship with firm resolve and strategic planning. You set a course based on careful navigation and charting, drawing upon your knowledge and wisdom to guide the crew through adversity. With discipline and determination, you maintain control over the vessel, ensuring its safety and progress towards a destination. Just as a skilled captain knows when to embrace the spirit of adventure and when to assert authority over the ship, we can too as we transition between child and parent mode in our approach to our life's path. By balancing that spontaneity and structure with intuition and rationality, we can navigate that ever-changing world that we live in to get to our desired port of call. We must find a way of shifting our state of vulnerability and emotional reactivity to one of assertiveness, determination, and responsibility. We need to take control of our actions. We need to make empowered decisions to move forward with confidence. Find your something worth fighting for. Find that fire in your belly. Fuel it. Find the reasons you deserve to live the life you want and have the things you want to pursue. Overcome obstacles and navigate life's challenges with resilience and with self-assurance. Go get it, and I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for joining me on this insightful journey today. If you've resonated with what we've discussed and feel inspired to make positive changes in your life, I'm here to support you. Remember, your transformation begins with a single step. If you're ready to take that step and explore the possibilities of working with a life coach, visit my website at www.rhiannonbush.com. There, you'll find more information about my coaching programs and how we can collaborate to achieve your goals. Your journey to a more fulfilling life starts now, so reach out today and let's create the life you dream about. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.